Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 100, O Lord, Thou art my God and King. 100. Surely this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, look upon us and let the light of your presence banish the darkness in our life. Open to us the treasures of your wisdom, encourage what you have begun in us, and guide us in our prayers. We confess our sins, Lord. We bring to you in penitence the anger and impatience, the readiness to see the faults of other people and the slowness to see our own faults, the lazy, selfish ways, the pursuing of our own interests while neglecting what we can do for other people, the failure to use the faith which you have made available to us. Help us to accept your free forgiveness and keep us on the straight path through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 125, Lord of all being. 125.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 22 at verse 1. Psalm 22 at verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and I'm not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 17. Mark, chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 139, praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. 139.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 18. No one is good except God alone. It's all about a rich man who couldn't give up his riches even to inherit eternal life. At the end of it all, at the end of the episode, when Mark tells us the rich man went away feeling sad because he had so many possessions and didn't want to give them up, it's then that we see the contrast between this man and Jesus. The rich man tenaciously holding on to his wealth. Jesus giving up everything, even the honor of being called good. No one is good, he said, except God alone. All the teaching of Jesus has this theme in it: self-obliteration, renouncing any honor, any prestige which people might want to give him. Renouncing all that, concentrating on the one purpose of revealing God, the nature of God, the truth of God, revealing that to the people. Through all his teaching, and we can see it in this episode of the rich man, through it all there is Jesus' self-obliteration. And that demands our self-obliteration as we seek to follow him and serve him. What about this man who approached Jesus then? The first thing which must strike us about him is the way he came, running up to Jesus in breathless haste, then throwing himself at Jesus' feet, calling him good master or good teacher, blurting out his question about how to inherit eternal life. All of a rush he came, in a moment of overflowing emotion, wanting to know about eternal life. What is it? How could he aspire to it? Why did he ask this question? What did he want to know? What's likely to have been his motive in asking it? What was it that was prompting him to seek eternal life? And this eternal life he was so keen to acquire, what did he think it was? What did he mean by it? Perhaps he meant simply life which goes on and never comes to an end. Maybe the life he was experiencing at that time was so enjoyable, he couldn't bear the thought of it ever coming to an end. And he was coming to Jesus to see if Jesus could give him the secret of making sure his life would go on forever. Maybe that was it. But if that was it, if that was his way of thinking, wasn't he making an unwarranted assumption? Wasn't he assuming that if his life did go on forever, it would go on in the pleasant, affluent, harmonious way it was going on now? It's a natural human reaction. It's naive and uncritical, but it is natural. There's a poem in French which has been a favourite of mine ever since I first learned it at school. The poet complains about the relentless passage of time, robbing him of life's most precious moments. And the same relentless passage of time takes those moments. It's the time that gives him those moments, and the same passage of time takes them from us. They disappear without trace, and time is never going to bring them back to us. If time won't, can't eternity preserve them for us? Maybe we have known delights, moments we wanted to hold on to, wishing we could hold on to them forever, for all eternity. If eternal life could mean keeping those precious joys with us forever, maybe we wish we could have eternal life. A natural human reaction. But it is naive and superficial, isn't it? Maybe the rich man's thoughts did go deeper than that. Maybe he genuinely saw Jesus as the personification of good. Maybe he recognized in Jesus the source of a life which was richer in quality than any life he had known. If that was it, if that was his way of thinking, maybe that's what he was on about when he came running to Jesus. Anyway, he came running and threw himself at Jesus' feet and called him good master or good teacher and asked him about inheriting eternal life. All of a rush. And when he came like that, it's as though Jesus was saying to him, stop the rush. Calm down. Take it easy. Why do you call me good? Jesus asks. Cut out the flattery. Don't use that word about anyone but God. Sometimes that scene gets reenacted. People do come rushing to Jesus, rushing into Christianity, full tilt into the church and its activities. And sometimes the Lord has to stop them in their tracks. Stop the rush. Calm down. Think about it. There's nothing essentially wrong with coming to Christianity in something of a rush. Nothing necessarily wrong with it. But if people do come that way, they have to be prepared for the Lord's restraining voice. Stop the rush. Calm down. Take time to think about what you're doing and what's involved. The rich man who came running to Jesus, he was evidently a respectable man. He maintained respectability. And Jesus pointed out to him that respectability is fine, but it's not enough. The eternal life which Jesus offers, the eternal life which this man was so anxious to achieve, that eternal life calls for more than respectability. This is where the Christian life, the Christian faith, bewilders some people. This is where some people misunderstand what's involved in being a Christian. What was it Jesus said to the rich man? You know the commandments. You don't kill, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness, you don't defraud people. You must honor your father and mother. And the man said, oh yes, I've always kept those rules ever since I was so high. Some people are quite satisfied with that. They don't do any of the wrong things which good people are not supposed to do. So they think they are as good as anyone else, as good as people who go to church, as good as people who claim to be Christian. But this rich man now, he was not satisfied. He felt that keeping the commandments was not enough, so he came to Jesus to quiz him about it. And Jesus had to stop the man in his tracks, first to tell him not to try flattery, no one is good except God alone. Secondly, to make him realize that there is more to it than respectability. People are accounted respectable because they don't do this and they don't do that. Jesus had to bring the man to think not just about things to avoid. He had to think about positive things, things positively to do. What Jesus asked him to do was to give up his worldly wealth, give the proceeds to the poor, and follow him, a positive gesture. And it was too much for the rich man. He went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. There are some people who don't approach Jesus at all. Some who do their utmost to avoid confrontation with him throughout all their earthly life. There are some who unfeelingly pass him by. The Lord Jesus Christ has his ways of dealing with people like that. But what we're seeing here, what we're considering in this episode today, is something different from that. We're seeing an example of people who do come to Jesus, people who come rushing to him, anxious to be on his side, anxious to be counted among his followers, but very much in need of correction and redirection. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ with the kind of faults we see in this rich man Mark is telling us about, there are three things, briefly, that Jesus has to say to us. He says, first of all, stop the rush. Calm down. No flattery. Think it through calmly. Then he says there's a great deal more to it than respectability. God is not giving us credit marks, as it were, for what we avoid doing. There has to be a positive emphasis in our Christian life, things we positively do. And thirdly, there is a challenge. The things the Lord asks us to do, they may be things we would rather not do because they mean personal sacrifice. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Are we missing the chance of being of real service to the Lord because there are things that we don't want to give up, things we don't want to change? Are we afraid that he will dislodge us out of our comfortable rut? Well, what do we think being a Christian is? What do we think it means to be a follower of Jesus? It's no use our thinking that it's ever going to be easy or undemanding. It is the most demanding, the most self-sacrificial enterprise we could ever let ourselves get involved in. How could it be any other way when we consider how it was for the Lord himself? The most demanding, the most self-sacrificial. Yes, but isn't it also the most rewarding? Isn't it also the most thoroughly worthwhile? And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 465, Be Thou My Vision, 465. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the God of all goodness, we pray you to accept the offering we bring. Use it and use us for your glory and for the work of your church. We thank you, Lord, for the richness of life, for the beauty and the wonder of the world, for the care of those who love us, for strength and hope in the trials and difficulties of life, for the gospel of the risen Lord, and for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to show our thankfulness, not only in the words we say, but in the way we live our life. We pray for those who are ill, that you may ease their pain and calm their restlessness. Give them such trust in you that they may know they are always in your keeping. Bless those who care for them. Bless the church and enable Christian people to walk with their Lord. Strengthen the witness of the church here in this place and everywhere, that the world may learn to live your truth and seek your peace. Break down the barriers of race and creed which separate people, so that all may live as members of one family of God. Bless those in positions of authority and leadership. Preserve us as a people from all that is degrading, and lead us in wholesome ways of life. We remember with thanksgiving those near and dear to us whose earthly life is completed. We thank you for our continuing fellowship with them and with those of earlier times and times yet to come on this earth. Make us ever conscious of our unity in you, our God, and bring us to share the joy of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 517, Fight the Good Fight, 517. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.